Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, long time no speak, the Marathon Man jumper and some new knitting book and magazine acquisitions. Hello and welcome to the first episode of The Ordinary Knitter since early May of this year. That's about 2.5 months. In that time, I have just got on with my man jumper, and that really has been the sum total of the knitting that I have done over this time, which is why I haven't made a podcast, as there's really been so little to say. This man jumper, sorry, I really shouldn't call it, that's a bit patronising really. It's more to indicate the scale, and if you knew my husband, you'd know why I say that. It's called Of the Sea, and it's a pattern by Drops. It's a very plain jumper. It's a standard rib. It's got ribbed sleeves, ribbed body. There's nothing terribly fancy. I don't consider a rib to be fancy. I started it in May. In the last podcast, I said that I can't remember particularly what I'd been doing, but I do recall that at the end I said I'll probably end up doing a man jumper next, and that is precisely what I did. So I started it then. It's being knitted in an Aran weight in a yarn from Aldi. It's a muted racing green. It's not quite as there's a vibrancy to a British racing green, which probably is a bit of a contradiction in terms, because racing green is not an acidic shade or anything like that, but it has a depth to it. And the green of this is, it's just got that slight, it's slightly more sagey. It's not a vivid or a bright green at all. Perhaps doesn't have that clarity of greenness that you might usually associate with a racing green. But it's the sort of colour that my husband likes, and they were selling it off in Aldi, because being such a cheapskate, I don't buy things at full price. I'd love to be able to, and I would cheerfully buy all sorts of fancy things at top whack if I could, so I'm not just being mean, it's a needs must. I bought 300-400 gram skeins of this green. I've used up one completely. I've done all of the body up to the armpits, and because my husband's quite a large chap, I have to make it longer than even what it the dimensions that are given for the biggest size on the pattern, because he likes it to reach to a certain point on him. So every so often, every foot or so, I would thread it all on to a hugely extended cable using cable extenders, you know, so I had about 3 cables, and I would thread it all onto one of these and try it on him. And oh, the day when he said, yes, I think that's about the right length. Hello, hallay, frabjous day. So at that point, my hysteria and ecstasy was such that I thought, great, I can start on the sleeves. So I stupidly cut the umbilical. And I've realised afterwards, of course, I should have done another round casting off for the armpits, which is where you're going to then reattach effectively the sleeves when you put everything on to the big cable to start the yoke, and you then sew the top afterwards. But it's not irretrievable. I'll just reattach the yarn, or, you know, just weave in new yarn and do that round where I cast off for the armholes. I'm certainly not going to let a minor thing like that stand in my way. But I was so excited to have moved on. You know, I enjoy knitting, but my god, 3 foot of 6x6 rib when you've got over 300 stitches on your cable, I won't pretend that that is the most fascinating and preferred form of knitting, because it most definitely isn't. And now you understand why I've not had much to say, because all I would have done is come on and whinged and ranted. Although, once it's finished and it's on him and he's enjoying wearing it, I know that I'll like it. And some of the sweaters that I've made him have ended up being quite heavy because, you know, he's a large chap, he's big in the front, and things don't hang really as they should. And even an XXL, you know, doesn't necessarily do what it should. But I think the way that this rib works, when he's just tried it on as it is, it looks nice. I like it on him. So I'm optimistic that once the thing's finally done, I'll be really glad that I made it. But I've now, as I say, I've done up to the armpits and I'm a good way through the first sleeve. The sleeve, after your initial sort of cuff section, you increase, for the size that I'm doing for him, you increase by one stitch every 3.5 centimetres, and you do a total of 12 increases, and I've done 9 so far of this first one. So, you know, the end is in sight, or should I say, it's sort of, you know, starting the yoke, threading everything on to the same cable, starting to do the raglan decreases. It's kind of on the horizon. I don't feel now too kind of weighed down by the whole thing. By the time I'd finished that bodice, I had very definitely broken the back, and I suppose there's something to be said for doing the boring bit first, if you want to call it that. I'm sorry, it's probably sacrilege, but yeah, let's call a spade a spade. Get that done first, and everything else from now on is going to be more interesting. We've been having some very hot weather on and off recently, and again, you know, this huge Aran jumper, it hasn't been tempting. I've not wanted to drape myself in this enormous jumper, which has kind of psychologically, I'm a terrible one for being put off by things for psychological reasons, and that has put me off, and so inevitably it's slowed down my progress. But a sleeve is a much lighter proposition, so I'd like to think it'll go quite well from now on. My target is to have this finished by the time the children go back to school. So they've been off a week and they've got another, well, they go back on something, the 3rd or 4th of September, so we've got another sort of 5.5 weeks, and I think that's pretty doable. And when I do finish it, I'd really like to start something for myself, probably a cardigan that I can wear through the winter. Although, remembering last winter, whether I'll get that done before I think about starting my Christmas knitting is anyone's guess. You may recall, if you've been listening for a while, I was given by a friend a copy of Arne and Carlos's 55 Baubles to Knit for Christmas, which I was so thrilled about. And I've also got now these polystyrene balls. So that means that I am well and truly set to knit what I hope are going to be some really nice baubles for this winter. And I've done quite a few of my own designs. You know, now that I've obviously got the basic structure, I can put in my own designs, which I'll enjoy doing. I've personalised them before. The problem I've always had is that they've been really odd shapes by the time I've finished stuffing them. But by doing them round a bauble, you completely engineer out that problem. So I'm going to be so excited to start getting on with those from about, you know, the middle of October, that whether I'm going to get very far with the cardigan is another matter. It's anyone's guess. We'll just have to wait and see. Partly because I've been a bit weighed down by this jumper mentally and possibly physically, I've not been very good at getting out to knitting groups recently. I think it would be fair to say that I lost my mojo a wee bit, probably because I had such a summer unfriendly project on the go. I had deliberately decided to knit this jumper in the off season because I thought my husband's not going to be wanting to wear it, I'm not racing against the clock, it's just something else I'm very good at. So I deliberately made it in the off season. But this experience has made me wonder about the wisdom of doing that, especially as, although, I mean, today the weather's really, blech, really dreich, but generally we've had some quite hot weather, and I don't know that this is a particularly a smart move. If we're going to keep getting this heavy, sticky weather, I think I am going to have to confine my big projects to the winter and maybe knock out some socks in the summer, because I've not done any socks for ages. I was completely socked out by Christmas last year, and as far as I can recall, I don't think I've done any this year. I started off doing some for the Woolpack, which is this charity group that I was going to, but honestly, I've not set foot there for ages either. I don't know. I think when the kids go back in September, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm still really in the groove of the academic year, and I think when they go back in September, I'm just going to get back into the groove of a few things and just kind of write off the last few weeks. You know, we all have our dips, don't we? But nonetheless, I went to Knit and Natter this week. It's only every other week, and if I'm honest, the reason I went this time is because, say, first week of the holidays, my husband's been away and I wanted my son to have a change of scenery. If you have youngish children, And if you're concerned that they use their phones too much, but it feels a bit draconian constantly to be saying, you're not to go on your phone, you put your phone away, blah, 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 it can be quite hard to find a workable system. But I'm trying something. I'm sort of trialing it and experimenting with my son. He's 8. And we've reached a deal, which is that if I don't breathe down his neck too much about the phone when we're at home, he doesn't take it with us when we go out. Now, that might sound like a no-brainer. If you're going out for the day, of course you don't take your phone. Why would you? And yes, I agree. But he'll often want to take it in the car. He's got one or two games he plays where you don't need to be connected. He's not got a SIM in his phone, so he can only use Wi-Fi in the house. And depending on where we're going, it might be the sort of place, you know, if you're at somebody's house, or, you know, if it's me talking to a friend but I've got to cart him along, he might, you know, sit in their sitting room and play on his phone or something. So we have the deal that the phone stays in the house, and actually it's gone really well. Of course, being sneaky, I've been finding lots of reasons to take him out with me. He's been finding himself coming food shopping with me and things like that, which is quite a sacrifice on my part, I have to say. But it's actually working quite well. And Wednesday morning was a classic example, because once upon a time he would probably have said, can I bring my phone? And I would have thought, well, it's probably a bit boring for him, isn't it, you know, sitting there with all these women nattering around him and so on. But of course we had this deal, so I said, oh, why don't you bring one of your books instead? So he did. Now, he only read a couple of pages, but that wasn't really the point. He engaged, he was chatting. He's the right little chatterbox, bit of a heartbreaker. So he was chatting to people, and he was off round the building. We have Knit and Natter in Grange Court in Leinster, and there's quite a lot for kids to do. You got low grade stuff, you know, there's a few games in the entrance area and there's things to look at, and he was trotting about and amusing himself and that sort of thing. So that was really why I went. I just wanted him to have a change of scenery. But while we were there, one lady there, Alison, who is planning to move house, is having a bit of a clear out, and she brought along a 2 foot tall stack of knitting books and magazines. And I have come away with two copies of Knitting magazine and a book called Top Down Sweaters by Anne Budd, B-U-D-D, Anne without an E. And what caught my attention in all of these is the jumpers and the tops. And one thing I like about Knitting in particular is that a few pages in on this edition, which is February 2009, my goodness, we're going back, on page 19, there is a gallery of all the knits that are in the book, so you don't have to sort of leaf through every single page. And there are a few there that, quite honestly, I'd not be seen dead in, but there are one or two things that I really like. There's one in particular I like. It's got an elbow length sleeve, but that's pretty simple to sort out. So I've got that, which I'm looking forward to, and I've also got the one from February 2010. We're getting significantly more modern here. And if you saw my Instagram recently, that's The Ordinary Knitter, you would have seen I posted a page, and there's some absolutely gorgeous 1940s style knits. They're just fantastic. There's pretty much a whole page of 40s style knits, and just absolutely loved them. So I'm really, really keen. It's given me my enthusiasm back, which is really lovely, because, you know, I'll be honest, I'd lost it a little bit, and it's really lovely to have it back. So I'm keen. In fact, I was so keen to sort of dive straight into the magazine and look through that I didn't really even look at the cover. But now I do. I can see it says Land Girls and 1940s sweaters and things like that, which is a really absolutely right up my street. And this book by Anne Budd, Top Down Sweaters, it's got a little thing at the top that says The Knitter's Handy Book Of. I get the feeling there's probably a series of them. So again, you know, you've got to pick carefully, but I like top down sweaters. I've knitted a couple now, and there are some things in here that I really like and that I could see myself wearing. And even better, and I've been saying this for ages about knitting books, it's spiral bound. So you can keep it open without having to weigh it down. I don't know about you, but when I'm using knitting books, I'm holding things open with my heel, or sometimes I just end up, if it's my book, I just photograph the page so that I can just bring it up on my phone and I've got it right there to hand. So there are some nice things in here that I could see myself wearing, and they fit the brief, the kind of thing I've had in mind for jumpers for myself, for the winter jumpers and cardigans. So that's optimistic. I think I've not really worn Hertz after all of that. I wasn't entirely happy with how it sat on me, and the sleeves have annoyed me from the beginning because they're quite bulky the way they're done, and they bulk out underneath if I'm wearing a cardigan or something over the top. Well, a cardigan over the top, the sleeves are kind of awkward, so I've been wondering if there's anything I could do to try and modify them now that the thing is made. And because you don't set the sleeves in, they're made all of a part, I can't take them out because they're not separate pieces. So I don't know, I'll probably just accept that. One thing I would like to make myself, which I've been saying to myself for ages, is, it sounds a bit stark, but a purple cardigan. I've got some purple yarn and I would find that quite useful. And that actual purple I've got, I'm not crazy about, but we'll see. You know, if I found a nice enough pattern, I could probably just grit my teeth over the purple. You know, I don't go many places. No one really sees what I'm wearing all that often, especially in the winter. You know, I'm on the school run and I'm wearing a coat. It doesn't really matter. The length of a cardigan makes the most difference to me. So if I'm wearing something like that, that's a chunky knit, I think the fact that these sleeves are bulging out a bit, it's going to be much less of a big deal. Under the cardigans I wear in the summer, which are much finer, they're so fine that I myself wouldn't want to knit them. I'm happy to knit myself winter cardigans, but summer cardigans, I think, you know, that really is the kind of thing that I would have to buy in order to be happy with how they're going to work. But I'm really pleased to have those. I'm deliberately trying very hard not to spend too much time looking at them and fantasizing, because I really do have to get this jumper done first before I can give time to that. But it's great to have them, and I just hope that when the things are finished, I'm happy with the fit, because at the moment that's definitely my bogeyman. A quick update on my sewing progress. Having started out really well, I hit the buffers a little bit, and I think this was a victim of my general loss of mojo. Sorry, I just tried to run my own foot over with my chair, it hurt. So the skirt that I made for myself, I put the hook and eye on, but the front panel is bulging slightly, so I need to reposition. This always happens to me. Is it the hook I need to reposition or the eye? The eye, I suppose, because the hook is on the end of the front panel and that's not going anywhere. So I need to reposition the eye. My mother has made me the V-neck top from that pattern that I found a little while ago. I think we'd probably both acknowledge that it hasn't entirely gone to plan, not least because she had a bit of a brainstorm when she was cutting it, and she only cut one of the front pieces in the pattern that I had, and she had to find some other material to make the other half of the front. The material she found is spookily the same colour. It's extraordinary. It's plain as opposed to pattern, but the colour match is, it's slightly disconcertingly good for something that she just had lying around. Especially, it's a kind of tea rose colour. It's not the most common of colours, so I find that, I was amazed, I was delighted, but really surprised. So it's probably a little bit shorter in the body than I would have wanted. I think really it is something that would have liked to have been made in a stretch. In terms of sewing for myself, I don't really have the budget for the fabric at the moment, much as I would like it. I've been keeping my ear to the ground for a sewing machine on Freecycle, but a couple have come up. One I did ask about, but everything needs mending or this or that. My husband's extremely good with that sort of thing. I've got complete faith in him that he could mend just about anything. So that's not itself the end of the world, especially if it's something electrical that's not working. He's very good at fixing that kind of thing. But I didn't get that one I asked about, and I think the other one that came up was a manual, and I'm not that dedicated. I would like an electric one. So between no sewing machine and no fabric budget, I've not really made a lot of progress, but I really do need to fix that hook and eye. It's one of those things, it's starting to bug me, and it will eventually bug me to the point where I actually pull my finger out and get on with it. And I also need to do the same on the top my mother has made, because she's 95% made it. I just need to put two sets of hooks and eyes in to actually fix it around the front. And even though it's not probably what either of us quite expected, I do like it, and I will wear it from time to time. I can imagine it's one of those tops that I'll put on and sometimes I'll think, oh no, I don't think so, and other times I'll put it on and I'll think, yes, that's just right. I've had one or two items of clothing like that, and they're very frustrating. but I'm going to be away for a few days in August, and I know I've got at least one nice meal out, so I think it's the kind of thing that I could wear then. And in fact, if you have things that you don't wear every day, it's nice to wheel them out for, you know, just for a sort of a special occasion. Just nice to feel that you're slightly lifted out of the same old, same old. I think I'm very definitely suffering from same old, same old at the moment. Poor me, eh? It's a sad life. Thank you very much for joining me for this first episode in a long time. I'll speak to you again when I have something to say about the never-ending jumper. I quipped on Twitter the other day that Drops should have called this jumper Marathon, because when you're doing it in bigger than the biggest size, that's definitely what it feels like. Anyway, it's been lovely to have you join me again. I've been very pleasantly surprised at the listener figures while I've not actually been podcasting. Perhaps, as the man said, I do it best when I do nothing at all. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. Speak to you soon. Bye.